Welcome back to When the Kids Go Down. This is Ari Thomas. I am checking the mic. Sorry. Okay, perfect. So first things first, this is part two of last week's episode. Also, if you listened, I cannot believe how many times that I did not catch myself. First of all, I was talking about the catcher in the rye, and then I said the perks of being a wallflower, and then I said Charlie when I meant Holden, and I thus said Holden when I meant Charlie. So to clear that up, I had a friend from, I don't know, middle school. It was an online MySpace friend. I liked their voice because we would talk on the phone all the time, duh. And their voice was around the time that I was like really into or starting to read a lot of mainly J.D. Salinger. And so they just had like the perfect, I don't want to say angsty, but angsty. Oh my God. I'm thinking, what is the word that I'm thinking of? It's angsty, I guess. Teenage angst and nuance. And his voice just matched Holden's vibe. And so when I read the book, his voice is how I read Holden Caulfield. Don't care about the person at all anymore. Well, okay, that made it seem like bad. We just don't talk. But anyways, as I read Perks of Being a Wallflower, because Logan Lerman, sorry, I had a brain fart, because Logan Lerman played Charlie and he played Charlie so perfectly, that's how I read Perks of Being a Wallflower, because I re reread Perks of Being a Wallflower like almost every fall because it's perfect for fall time. And I also kept thinking of the book Mexican Gothic because I couldn't get it out of my head. And I was getting the same vibes from this book. And I just remember like wanting, I don't know if I went in for Mexican Gothic or I just went in looking for books. And then this one caught my eye. But it is, I wasn't talking about Mexican Gothic. I was talking about a book called The Hacienda by Isabel Gunas. I'm gonna read you the back of it. First and foremost, I do see on the back that it says in quotations, a chilling Mexican Gothic horror. And that's by NPR said that. And it's funny because I was like trying to find adjectives, sorry, to describe it. And the only things that were coming to mind were Mexican Gothic and horror. So I nailed it. During the overthrow of Mexican government, Beatriz's father was executed and her home was destroyed. When handsome Don Rodolfo Solórzano proposes, Beatriz ignores the rumors surrounding his first wife's sudden demise, choosing instead to seize the security that his estate in the countryside provides. She will have her own home again, no matter the cost. But Hacienda San Isidro is not the sanctuary she imagined. When Rodolfo returns to work in the capital, visions and voices invade Beatriz's sleep. The weight of invisible eyes follow her every move. Rodolfo's sister Juana scoffs at Beatriz's fears. But why does she refuse to enter the house at night? Why does the cook burn copal incenses? Was that supposed to be like copal? Anyways, at the edge of the kitchen and mark the doorways with strange symbols. What really happened to the first Donna Solórzano? Beatrice only knows two things for certain. Something is wrong with the hacienda, and no one there will save her. Desperate for help, she clings to the young priest, Padre Andres, as an ally. No ordinary priest. Andres will have to rely on his skills as a witch to fight off the malevolent presence attraction, huh? Oh, haunting the hacienda to protect the woman from whom he feels a powerful, forbidden attraction. But even he might not be enough to battle the darkness. Far from a refuge, San Isidro may be Beatrice's doom. Done. So apparently this book is after the Mexican Civil War, and there's a lot of like historical stuff in it and a lot of Spanglish. So duh, Google if you don't know. But I heard it's creepy and spooky and scary, and so I am very excited for that. Did you hear my accent change? I used to teach classes, and there was one time I was teaching a class of like predominantly Hispanic people, and it's like there's a certain, I don't know, it's like a flow of your tongue that just happens, like when you're around people, if you're Hispanic and you're like that Hispanic and you're around people who are Hispanic, it just happens. Like when I'm with my mom and we're speaking Spanish or English or Spanglish, it just kind of flows into English as well. And I don't really know how to explain it other than that. It's very homey feeling to me. So like it's just how you speak with other Hispanics, if that makes any sense at all. But I'm laughing because it totally just came out of me. It's like your mom did, or you from your mom. Sorry, I haven't spoken to an adult. I've also been awake since 6 a.m. and I do not know what time I fell asleep last night, so forgive. Oh my God. I'm just gonna leave that in. Anyways, I wanted to read the back of that book and talk about it to give it its oh my God. Due diligence. Because it's respected, it's to be respected, and I want to read it, and I'm sure it's going to be a great book. I mean, it's a Mexican author, so obviously it's going to be amazing. Mexicans are the best. I'm Mexican, so this is being recorded like the day after, so there's no like big updates, not that there ever is. But I actually, well, I did get some stuff in the mail that I ordered for my quote unquote capsule wardrobe, or just things that I like haven't bought myself things in years. So these are things that I bought myself. Okay, so I bought these glasses. They're Bayonetta styled and they're pretty slim. They're like slim. And yeah, so they're blue light blocking. I just love glasses to accessorize with. They're a little too thin, where like my eyes are bigger than them, and so I don't. Ryan says keep them. Hello again. Sorry, the babies woke up, so I had to stop the recording there. But I wanted to talk about like I got like a few items in. First of all, when I pulled out the glasses, Mika asked if I was his Mimi, which roasted. And then I pulled out a bandana, put it on, and he says, "Oh, now you're a pirate." So I bought a fuzzy green beanie because I wanted the beanie and I got it in green because it's his favorite color. But when I pull it out and put it on, he asked if I was the Grinch. So I guess in a way I did buy all these things to kind of play dress up for myself, about being Mimi, a pirate, or the Grinch wasn't really what I had in mind. But I still see the vision and it makes him happy. So I'll be a pirate Grinch Mimi if he wants me to. Anyway, I hope you've had a great week. If you're new here, welcome. I hope you stay around. I've been up since like 4:30 a.m. and the boys are asleep now. They woke up at 6 a.m. I was in bed trying to fall back asleep and it didn't really happen. So they woke up at 6 a.m. I guess due to like me moving around and stuff. And we had one of the lights on last night, and I was just too tired to turn it off, so it was pretty bright all night, and I guess that really woke them up too. So I've been up early. I'm tired. I've had 2 cups of coffee so far, and I just made some Earl. No, I didn't make Earl Grey. I made chai. I don't know. I think the Earl Grey has more caffeine, but we'll see. We'll see how it works out. Just to say, I am a little tired, but I am prepared for this episode, so hopefully all goes well, and I make minimal errors in pronunciations and my words. Today is part two of What I Wish for My 30s. I hope that the last episode was really it was easily understood, because I don't even remember recording a lot of it. I feel like I was all over the place. We had just had a doctor's appointment that morning, and so I the episode came out later, and that like bugged me. But also, just it, I don't know why I set up doctor appointments in the morning. I think because I just want to get them over with, because then I'm going to be anticipating it all day. But when I have them in the mornings, then I have the day kind of thrown off. So it just, my day is going to be thrown off anyways, but I'd rather do it in the morning and get it over with. But I always do, and then I always like feel like I got hit by a bus right after. And of course, there are lots of things that I wish for my 30s. It's an entire decade to settle into. But this is just based off of post I made of just some things that I have been thinking about. So the first part was six pieces of things that I had on my post of what I wished, and then this is the rest of the six pieces from that post. First up, I would like to create more with my hands. So I had these. I always am on Pinterest looking for things for like household items that I love. Because I always think like, oh, I really want a bag that looks like this bag on Pinterest, or I really want like a cup that is on Pinterest, or a mug or whatever. And then I'm like, why don't I just image search the on Pinterest and then find that exact one? Because typically there's like a link to it, or it's on Etsy or something. And so I found these cute little like candle holders for tapered candles, and they were so simple and so cute. They're like, I will upload a photo of them for this episode on the Instagram, and so and on TikTok for the podcast as well. Both those are at When the Kids Go Down. No, I'm sorry, at When the Kids Go Down on Instagram, and at the Kids Pod, I believe, on TikTok. Anyways, they were like short and striped and like just these little clay, like pottery ones. And I was like, hold on, I have a bunch of clay, because that's what we did for my son's last birthday party. Was we had clay and we made little crafts, and so people could take home little trinkets from his birthday party. And I thought, well, I can just make those. I can make them right now. And then how cute would it be to have like people, like, I don't know, like my sons, I keep thinking about when they're older. Not that everything is about me either. Anyways, but this is literally what I'm talking about, is like what I want for my 30s. So anyways, to have them like, that's cute. Where'd you get that? My mom made it. Like, I would love to have a bunch of stuff around the house that I make, because I like to make these little paper, what are they called? Paper chains, and link them around our home. And I'm about to make some for Valentine's Day. But I was going to make some for the Chinese New Year, and I didn't have the right colors, and I saw that they did have a pack. My favorite ones are from this company called True Ray, TRU-RAY, and I just buy those on Amazon. They are very thick, and so they're easy to like cut up, and they keep their shape, because sometimes like when the construction paper is like too thin and I'm making them into their little chains, they tear, especially if like Nika is helping. So I really like these, and I can also make like stars and other like construction stuff with them. I think they're like quite sturdy, and they come in like the most beautiful colors. So I have just their, I don't know, I guess I just have their, oh, I have their vibrant colors pack, and they did have a pack specifically, like they'll have a pack for specifically for Valentine's Day and Christmas and Halloween. But I just went ahead and bought like the color, well, I already had the vibrant color pack, and it has red and pink, and so I'm going to use those for our garland for, obviously, like that's super easy to make, but I want to make the, I want to make those little like tapered candle holders, and honestly, just like get a lot. Way more into pottery. I would love to be able to afford to like do that at home and buy all the equipment needed. But for now, it's quite simple to just get some air dry clay and some carving tools and water, and make some stuff. I think that, what is it, potted? I see their videos all the time, and it makes it look super simple and super easy. But it's hard. So I'm going to keep trying at it and make these little like tapered candle things that I'll post. And then I have a bunch of acrylic paints that they were just striped. And again, I'll have that photo up, but they're just like these tiny little candle holders, and they're striped. And I just think it'd be so nice to just have little things around the house that look beautiful that I made by my hands, my own two hands. The next on my list was to hold hands with my husband more and longer. It's just something that is always, you just always kind of like instinctively do. But when you have kids, especially with our second one, you're busier. And when you go out, they have different needs, and they're both expressing them at the same time. Like, obviously, I'm not ever complaining about my kids, and I know what I was getting into, wanting to have more, and I know that like they are. I know. It can be very easy to just get into a work mode, in a sense, and suddenly I'm reminded that I'm holding his hand when I hold his hand, and I think about how long, or not how long, sorry, how often am I doing this? And so it's mindful reconnection, and I would just like to hold hands more and mindfully reconnect with my partner. Next, I have to read more physical books. I have dyslexia, and I feel like over the past few years, it's been easier for me to just read, or sorry, listen to them on Audible, especially because I've been so busy. And when I did have like downtime, like honestly, after a year and a half, my son became a lot more independent and his naps became a lot more routine, and we had a routine, and so everything just like became more manageable and predictable, and so I knew what to expect of our days, and I would try to read, and then I would just get kind of frustrated with myself. But I know that the more I read, it just I listen at like 1.5 speed, and that's just where my brain is at. Because I get like very, I get distracted, or I start to wonder. I don't know. So I like to listen at 1.4, 1.2 to 1.5. I think I usually have it on 1.4 actually. But anyways, I like that. And when I'm reading, I don't know. I actually think I do read pretty fast. But I hate getting caught up on a word, and like sometimes it's not so much that like the word doesn't look correct, but I know what the word is, and I think that I just get annoyed with myself, even though I'm reading the word. It just like it gets, misshaped, whatever. And I do that when I write, obviously, and so I hate that, but I do write every day still. I just want to read more physical books because I want my kids to see me reading more physical books. Because if I always have an AirPod in when I'm like cooking or cleaning, I just don't want them to feel like they're being ignored, or I'm not like, what am I doing? You know what I mean? I mean, they'll know what I'm doing, but I think the act of seeing me reading will maybe encourage them to read, and because they learn so much from just like seeing you. And I would love to see them. I would love to model, sorry, for them to see me, and I would love to model that for them. My kids don't have tablets, and I don't want them to have tablets until they absolutely need them, and like for school. And so I want them to not see me on my phone all the time and see me actually, like, I mean, they see me writing, and so I want them to see me also physically reading. Next up, I have to play and converse more with my children as they grow older. My kiddo is just turned, he's turning 4, which is crazy, but he's just all of a sudden it feels like they grow up, and now they have stories, and they're talking to their toys, and they're making up scenarios, and their imagination is just growing, and they have so much to tell you. Like, they want to tell you exactly what they're doing, even though you can watch them doing it, and then they tell their dad how their day was and what they did, and it's just so cute to watch them just have conversations, and I'm so excited for them to grow up and be kids instead of like, we went through the baby and the tabby stage of like toddler baby. They're still kind of squishy, and then they're a toddler, and I'm just so excited to like, this is the decade where I will really see them. Like, he's gonna be in 10 years, he'll be 14. So I just get to have like a kid. And I'm so excited because I love this stage. I have two nephews who I watched grow up, and they're like teenagers, preteen now, and it's just so fun to hang out with them. And they're some of my favorite people. And I mean, obviously, and I love getting random text messages from them and our conversations. And so they get like online culture, and it's just fun. I'm so excited to like hear and watch my kids grow and learn what they have to say. I also have to grow my relationship with my sister, and then in quotations, in-law, deeper than ever. I don't have a a sister. I almost said I don't have a physical sister. I don't have a sister. I have a brother, an older brother. And then there was me, and then they had no more babies. I think they honestly were going to stop after my brother. And then I arrived. And so I always, like, growing up, kind of wanted a sister. But I am extremely aware of my physical appearance when I'm around my parents. And I just always have been. I mean, like, even now, like, when I go to see them, I can't even, this is probably an overshare, but I have a hard time getting ready or looking in the mirror just because, like, I will do not want to, like, critique myself in the way that I know that they are going to be critiquing me either out loud or inwardly. And so it's something that I am working through. But I always, like, wanted a sister. And then I thought, like, what if they think she's prettier than me and they treat her better than me? And I watched my mom and her dynamic with her sister, and a lot of it was always like who was prettier. And I just knew that that's what it would have been like based on, like, what I was seeing and what I was being told. And so I was always, like, having this inner dialogue of do I want a sister? Do I not want a sister? But, like, as if I could control that. My parents were not going to have any more kids, and the chances of that being a girl, I don't know how to control that. So anyways, I have a sister-in-law, and my brother married her, I don't know, I was gonna say married her recently. They've been together for a while. They just got married. They started dating a year before my husband and I started dating, and they also, she's a year older than me, and so we kind of grew up in our relationships together. And I'm married, sorry, to my brother's like high school best friend, and she just became one of my best friends because we clicked on a deeper level, and we also have, like, stuff in common. And I just get along with her more than I have most of my friends growing up. And so obviously, like, my brother and I are best friends. Of course, like, the girl he's gonna wanna, like, spend the rest of his life with is gonna be someone that I also love because I love my brother so much. And it just, I don't know, it just, I'm so lucky, so lucky, honestly. She taught me most everything I know about motherhood, and I don't know where I would be without her as a mom and in life in general. She has helped me through a lot of hardship, and she's called me out when I've acted, I was gonna say, well, yeah, like, stupid, you know, when I was younger and more angry and lacking in emotional intelligence. She wasn't scared to be confrontational, and she's what I needed. And I would love, now that our kids are, her, she has, Rory is just turned 8, and Daisy is just 4. No, I'm sorry, she's 4. She's about to turn 5. She's a year older, almost exactly, than my son Mika. So watching them together is super cute as well. But I know that we're gonna have a lot more time in this decade that we are in to hang out with each other and have more outings with just the two of us. And I am really looking forward to that because, although I may not have a sister, I have a pretty badass sister-in-law, and I think that just female relationships are so important, and I am lacking in that. I don't have many female friends, because I don't have many friends in general. And so I'm also looking forward to making friends. Like, I don't know how to make friends as an adult, but I am excited to learn how because I'm very open to that. But anyways, I'm excited to have more time with her and grow our relationship and see both of us developing as humans and parents. And then lastly, on this post, I have to live in a home that feels lived in and like I do on the inside. So basically, I want my outside environment to reflect what I feel inside, which is cozy and calm and what I want to exude, and to have pieces that I actually love and don't just, like, have. Like, I think for the longest time, I would just accept, my mom would buy me random crap, that I just like, I don't care about. And I think this is part, okay, let me unpack this real quick. So growing up, I wasn't very girly, but my mother made, I hate when I say mother because it makes me like, it brings out the mommy issues. You know, I feel like if you call your mom mother, you only have mother issues. You only have mommy issues. Maybe that's just a random, whatever. Maybe it's a lie, but I kind of have a feeling. Anyways, I was always, my room was always decorated how she wanted. And it was like, which now I think it was really cute. I just, it wasn't what I wanted as a kid, but I also think that what I wanted was probably the exact opposite of what she wanted, just because of our like inner con dynamic and our conflict that we had with each other. And so now I do think that it's really cute, but my bedroom was always like, and she would like paint white, everything white, which is like her thing, her whole house she wanted, and which is ironically, I live in a white house right now. Like my brick, our fireplace and our walls were all painted white, and my husband is like, it feels like an asylum, but luckily with some greenery and some decorations, it's a lot more cozier. But when we moved in, it was quite asylum-y, because even our carpet was white. Everything was white. And so we are slowly adding more color and pieces with color that feel cozy and warm and different textures. But anyways, my mom wants everything white. Her floors, her kitchen, and her my bedroom, and her sheets, whatever, everything was like white with daisies on it. I think that's cute now, you know? And I always loved my dresser that she had painted for me. She painted this like white dresser vanity. I never got ready at it, which is weird. It was just kind of her show, you know, like most things are with, okay, not to get too much, not to trauma dump. Anyways. Yeah, so they had these little white daisies painted on the mirror. They were super, super cute. And she did little green vines. I did always love that. But the beds being white and always made, and I never like slept in my own bed. And so it just, I don't know. It was, again, a dollhouse that I didn't get to enjoy. I didn't get to mess up. I didn't get to play in. I just got to show off. This is my room. And then, like, don't go in it, you know? So. Anyways, where am I going with this? Oh, right. Okay. So I got older and I moved bedrooms and I got to like kind of decorate it more, like how I like it. I actually have really cute photos. I'll have to look for them of how I decorated my room. It was very Tumblr. I had a futon and I had just like magazine cutouts that I would throw on the wall, and I would make, like I would clean out jars of mineral water that I would drink, and then I would put inside like magazine cutouts, or just I would make things with them, and I had and flowers and stuff. And so yeah, and I had my room with my record player and my records up, and I would still get like random little trinkets from my mom that didn't fit my vibe, but she thought they did because that was her perception of me. And I felt bad, and I would put them up, and then I would just like look at, and I don't know. And I would have things like that, where even now I have a little coffee nook, and I just have like some stuff up that I bought that don't really fit my vibe, but I have them up on my wall, and I'm like, why do I have these if I they don't bring me joy? You know, not to get all Marie Kondo here, but is that her name? Marie Kondo? Anyways, I want to start decorating for myself, and also for the longest time, my husband and I just got a coffee, or sorry, we didn't have a coffee table, but we just got a dining table and it was gifted to us. And I just take my time buying furniture because one, it's pricey, and two, I'm incredibly picky. But also, I saw this post, I believe, somewhere that said that, and like keeping your home undecorated is like a trauma response because you're always ready to flee. And I did not, it just hit because I would always say, like, oh, well, like, do we really want to live here? Like, should we buy
like a big dresser, or like, oh, I'm just gonna buy this like $30 coffee table. If it breaks, then like whatever, you know, we're gonna move one day and like we're not gonna take it with us. And there's always reselling, there's always gifting. I don't know. I didn't know that I was like really feel, I didn't, I, you like, I know that I wasn't buying things specifically because I was like, one day we're just gonna leave this apartment, or I'm just gonna move out, you know? And so I just didn't, like, not me, my husband and I, but I just didn't realize like how I was not enjoying where I was living, and I was always in a state of like, I'm not really here, you know? And I wasn't really in the moment of being in my own apartment, being in my own home. And I have so many beautiful memories of our apartment, and I did decorate, but I just, it was more of like a extension of my bedroom back home. It wasn't really our place. It was just like, this is what I had on my wall and I put up. And like, I don't know. I didn't really understand then that I was in this like just a nervous energy of like, we're just moving. Let's constantly keep moving. And let's just, who cares about like where we're at right now, because it's not where I want to be, or it's not where we're going, but it's part of the journey. And I see that now, and I don't have any regrets. But now, looking at my home, I wasn't furnishing it. I wasn't adding things to the wall. I wasn't buying trinkets. I wasn't even buying books for my shelf. I was just like listening to audiobooks. And so I've started to buy more physical copies because that's one of the other things that I wanted to do. And so when buying physical copies, I use them as decoration as well. And they're on my, they add color to my white bookshelves, and it all ties together. So that's where I'm at. I feel like this is a peaceful, calm, meditative, all these words mean the same thing, but this is what I want for my 30s. I want more time to slow down, be in the moment, calm, peaceful, coziness. And I'm feeling this on the inside. And so I'm very excited to see it and explore everything on the outside. So that's today's episode. If you are in your 20s and you're listening, go have an espresso martini on me. Venmo me. I mean, Venmo me. I'll Venmo you. And if you're in your 30s, I hope this resonates. And just take, maybe it's time to buy an espresso machine, although that is quite the purchase. I had a baby just wake up. Perfect timing. Also, I do want to say I finished Normal People by Sally Rooney, 4 out of 5 stars, because I get so frustrated with lack of communication in just people in general. I was going to say in characters, but literally just everyone, when there's things that are unsaid that just could be said. Okay, that's where we're at. I hope you have a lovely week, and I will see you back next week. Bye.